but then he had an explosive device in his truck that was set to detonate.
Wow.
I have been as friendly to the FBI as I possibly can in every instance that I've run into them. And I can't talk about all instances, but there's been three of particular note. All right, everybody, welcome back to During Business Hours. Christopher, Leslie, co-host. Let's get into the shitty New Year's news. Have you seen all the news regarding what's going on in America this week?
I never see all the news. I've seen some highlights.
So I saw a Sean Ryan podcast, had a former CIA operative or intelligence officer that was making some bold claims a couple of weeks ago. Sean Ryan is a big podcaster, usually has some people that heavy hit a message. This person was saying that people are coming across the border over the last few years that are organized, that aren't just criminals, your run of the mill. They are terrorists and they're in our country. Up to 1,500 Al-Qaeda / ISIS people. I think she said it was Al-Qaeda, that they don't mind being blamed for ISIS, but it's a result of countering the death of Osama bin Laden, that they are going to enact targeted attacks on American soil with a roughly 1,000 to 1,500, you know, Al-Qaeda members.
And this was based off of
intelligence,
intelligence from her position.
Yes. Sarah Adams.
What government agency was she with?
This was 3 weeks ago. So yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. It's got 1.6 million views and likes to dislikes are, you know, fantastic. Sean Ryan's a good guy. He does a lot of well thought out conversations with Navy SEALs, hackers, Delta Force operators, people like that. And so she discussed a brief in a newsletter that was in the intelligence community, saying that this exact thing, if you don't know, there have been targeted attacks by members of our own military that are claiming affiliation with ISIS, allegedly.
They've been turned, is the idea.
Yeah. So one man spent 13 years in the military and just happened to turn, recently went to Mexico, came back, and decided to run down Bourbon Street in Louisiana.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. At high speeds until he crashed his truck and then whipped out an AR-15 or assault weapon rifle and started firing at police officers. Not only did he run and gun those people down, but then he had an explosive device in his truck that was set to detonate.
Wow.
Now, the claim from local authorities in Louisiana said that not only that, but apparently had associates place pipe bombs with detonators at certain positions along his route that he drove from, I believe it was Colorado to Texas, from Texas to Louisiana. That's a long trip.
Yeah, I know. I heard that he was originally from Texas.
Apparently there's currently a homeland terror alert that just went.
For everybody or?
Yeah. Also another man breaking just now, an hour ago. Benny Johnson just posted breaking. Brent Sharari, 40, was arrested in Payette, Idaho for planting an IED in a train car. He was charged with possession of a destructive device after attempting to ignite it. There will be more, it says. So basically we are saying there is mass terrorism going on. These people are supposedly not in contact with one another. But it's kind of hard because apparently, and I'm going to get his name in a second.
Especially when they're all working with the same or similar devices. Well, what are the chances of that, you know?
So Shamsuddin Jabbar is a U.S. citizen and U.S. Human resource specialist in the military. And so he's the one who drove through all those people. And our hearts go out to all these people that are affected. It's almost what the death count's 15, 30 in ICU, almost 50 people injured or dead in total. And it's crazy because as we're talking about this, there was a Tesla fire in another vehicle in another state, Las Vegas. A Cybertruck, holy shit, Elon, exploded in front of Trump Tower in Vegas.
I saw that one too. Very interesting.
Nobody said it was a terror attack. Nothing on the news stated it was an IED. They released photos of them putting it out. And the first thing I said was, there is ordnance in the back of that truck. Mm-hmm. There's propane tanks and what looks like mortars, kerosene. Why are they not saying that this is a terrorist attack? Especially with the photo or the video that came out, I showed you right away. That's not a lithium fire. I deal with cell phones a lot, lithium polymer batteries. They tend to ignite to air. This is not how it ignited.
Just a vehicle fire. And so there's going to be a drone video that plays to my left again. You'll see as the fire initially, they covered it with a tarp to try to get it to go out. Once the fire went out through the suppression efforts of the fire department, you'll see some of the evidence in the back of the vehicle. So those are gasoline canisters. They are camp fuel canisters and large firework mortars. What I also would like you to pay attention to on that video, as you see that, it looks like the exterior of that truck is completely intact as it sits there. The fact that this was a cyber truck really limited the damage that occurred inside of the valet, because it had most of the blast go up through the truck and out. In fact, if you look on that video, you'll see that the front glass doors at the Trump Hotel were not even broken by that blast, which they were parked directly in front of. You can see that in the video there.
So right off the bat, I'm like, hey, this wasn't something exploded inside the truck of that bed or the bed of that truck. And we were like, holy shit, this is an attack. That was two for two. And I spotted it right then. I said, this is going to keep happening. Then again, background is military. I'm a little more skeptic on crazy shit happening. And then they finally came out and said, no, these are connected. Not sure how. Turns out second guy is also military.
As you know, there's also an FBI investigation in Las Vegas. We are following up on all potential leads and not ruling everything out. However, at this point, there is no definitive link between the attack here in New Orleans and the one in Las Vegas. And again, I'll preface everything with what I started with in the beginning, which was, this is very early in an investigation like this.
The FBI apparently is saying that there are no definitive links between terror attacks in Las Vegas and New Orleans, even though both suspects served at Fort Bragg, and that they were both rented vehicles from Turo in the same state. So the alleged suspect is Matthew Leibelsberger. He's in the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion near Trump Tower, a 37-year-old Army veteran with 19 years in the service in Special Forces and Intelligence.
Wow.
He was found deceased in the Cybertruck he rented, reportedly packed with fireworks and or bombs that caused a blast. Graduated summa cum laude from Norwich University with a degree in communications, lived in Colorado Springs, where the FBI has executed search warrants at his home, reportedly served at the same military base as the first person, Shamsuddin Jabbar, in the New Orleans attacker.
Overlapping time frames during service?
Yes. January 2006 to November 2015. And I believe it was somewhere between the 2007 to 2009. Mm. So we'll see once more comes out. So that was the second. Problem is, now people are saying that it's very possible that the second person was shot previous to the explosion, because the coroner's saying that he was dead while the explosion happened. Crazy to me that people can, you know, remote control cars and you can remote control explosions. I don't think that two service members could be this batshit crazy. I personally don't think to just serve ISIS after 19 years, 17 years. Where's the benefit? If it's not religious, could you see somebody just flipping a coin like that and giving up their entire life?
You'd know more than I would as far as military goes.
I think they would eat a bullet first before doing some damage like that.
Have our serving members been scorned so badly lately that...
It's a tough time for military members, I would say. Some of them are getting paid less than McDonald's workers.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Starting pay is like $1,200 every 2 weeks.
That's ugly.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. So apparently he was found with a bullet in his head. Two possible scenarios, I say. He shot himself. He was planning to commit suicide and didn't want to risk being burned alive. Two, he was shot and planted. And that Tessa was autopilot navigated. Now, if we had access to the cameras in the vehicle, like Trump and Elon probably do, they could see all that information. They have not disclosed if there was any information on the cameras or if they were covered up. But Elon came out after the explosion and was like, you know, it's lucky that that whole building didn't have more damage. The front doors weren't blown off because of the build of the Cybertruck.
Yeah,
it contained the explosion.
Well, not all of it, but most of it.
Yeah, 90% of it didn't break a single pane of glass. That's crazy. Then you had somebody else in New York shoot, I think it was 40 people. Mm. Let me get my number right. So just after that.
This is all in like a 24-hour time
frame. This is 24 hours, yeah. At least 11 were dead. I think it was up to 15 right now at a nightclub in the borough of Queens. Police are on the scene. Circumstances of the shooting are unclear. So they're saying that it's not involved, but it's just crazy. I'm not saying is involved, but it's outside of a club where they were celebrating the death of somebody else. And then there was just a mass shooting and they don't have the person who shot. To me, sounds like just a mass killing. On a scale that usually gangbangers don't, you know, mow down.
Oh, so this wildly. The streets were celebrating the death of somebody.
No, they were in a club. Like they were literally actively.
But I mean, it was like turf territory. Like so-and-so's not on.
Mm-hmm. It is New York and there's a lot of people that get shot and killed there. So they're not advertising that as much.
Right. But that's where I paused. They were like at a club celebrating the death. I'm like, who does that?
Yeah. That lithium flying afterwards is just not possible for an explosion of the battery. You know, usually they ooze out and start spouting and there's a sign and leaving the driver to run. It's never a great giant explosion.
I saw a video earlier of that because the first time I saw it was with you and the camera angle of whatever was recording it, it looked like there was some shrapnel, yep. I guess you could say, that punctured at the camera, but nothing significant outside of the car.
The next day, which is today, this morning, Washington, D.C. is on high alert. They're never on high alert. They let people into the Capitol for less. Like they put down barriers. Right. This time they moved barriers. They moved whole fucking walls because there was a suspicious vehicle that nobody is talking about. But apparently somebody was arrested. They say no shots were fired. We're waiting for more confirmation. But not even 8 more hours later, another fucking hillbilly, white man, American, I don't know what's going on.
White America.
Was arrested. Brent Shirai, 40, was arrested in possession of an ID on a train car, charged with possession of a destructive device after attempting to ignite it. So another IED almost went off. I don't know what the connection is here, but I started just looking around and seeing what the videos are from like the first, you know, attempted suicide bomber that ended up going down death by cop. Mm-hmm. And it turns out there's a video of Shamsuddin Jabbar after he got out of the military trying to get hired.
Texas, and now live in Houston. Yep. And I've been here all my life, with the exception of traveling for the military, where I spent 10 years as a human resources specialist and IT specialist, where I learned the meaning of great service and what it means to be responsive and take everything seriously, dotting I's and crossing T's to make sure that things go off without a hitch. So I've taken those skills and applied them to my career.
Taking it off, you know.
I mean, I hear that type of phrasing all the time at work, and it's, I think people are pulling at straws with that one.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me that that was less than a year ago. That was filmed less than a year ago.
Yeah. So what changed or what was going on?
Imagine a year from today, I'm a suicide bomber.
Yeah.
Like, just think about it for a second. I think, like you, I no, never. What is so drastic? That's where I'm like, I don't want to humanize these people too much, but.
Toxic fog.
Again, I give a little more credit to our military members because as a military member myself, I just have to think, if I was in their shoes, would I make the same decisions? You know, it's just one of those like, damn, how can I get there? How they do that? How'd that happen? You know, it's some of the only empathy I got. Really. And it's like, whoa, holy shit. That is a drastic turn. Now, if it's ISIS and somehow they're convincing these people of 72 something or a large payday, I can only hope that it's coerced. Like that movie we watched, Carry On.
Yeah, that was a trip.
So if you haven't seen Carry On.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Massive operation of operators, CIA, you know, private sector. However, operators that connect the dots between certain things, get details and information, and then leverage that against people in hard situations.
And then even the guy you think who's running the show really has a gun to his head, so to speak.
Or the guy who's got the finger on the trigger, and it turns out he's just another pawn.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie on Netflix. You should check it out. But there's a lot of manipulation in that movie.
Right.
So what if that Tesla Cybertruck guy, we don't know, the FBI doesn't know. They're searching warrants right now.
Look, do this, or your kids, your wife, your parents.
We got a sniper scope on them right now, calling from a burner. You never know.
Your friend from elementary school that just had a kid, you're going to do this job, or him and the kid and the wife and you.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways that they could leverage it. Right. Especially if it's ISIS and they're trained killers and they're in the United States.
It's like people joke about how, I forget who Trump did this to, but he sent that guy a picture of his house when negotiations weren't going. The
leader of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, right. So who's to say that those same people, like those same conversations aren't happening in other situations where maybe
Al-Qaeda is what they're saying.
Right. Like, imagine if somebody from Al-Qaeda sent you a picture of your house and was like,
we leave the house.
Or your parents' house.
That's it. We just leave the house.
You think they're not following you? They don't still see you?
I've got enough armaments. That's
true. We're in America.
Yeah. We are second, you know, to none here. I would say we are very fond of our Second Amendment. I won't lose it. I won't abuse it. I trust it. It is what it is. We're safe with firearms here. I appreciate my capability to protect my own. You know what I mean? I don't take it for granted. So I train it. You know, I go to the range often. I treat my firearms with respect. These are two military people. I don't know if the third is, but it just looks like some hobo from, you know, Hoboken. Look at the picture again. If this isn't your average hobo from Hoboken.
Is that the dude who set the random car on fire?
This is the train car. The guy who tried to detonate an IED in a train car.
Okay.
It's stupid, but this is all ongoing. It's only right now the 2nd of January, so if there's something we missed in the next 3 days, because you'll see this on Sunday, then let us know in the comments below. I'm worried. Because it's estimated to be 1,000 to 1,500 people here. So if you just say there's 15 attacks planned, we've gotten three to four. And they've been in like the weirdest spots.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Bourbon Street, especially for New Year's, because that is the Sugar Bowl and stuff. But like for...
It's a month to the Super Bowl.
I get that 50 is a lot of people, but when we're looking at like the scale of the terrorist attack, like we're used to 9/11, right? That's a lot more than
The October 7th and the Hamas attack. Right. They want it to be on that scale. There's a lot of other things they could have done, other festivals and places that they could have mowed people down. Not saying that it's not tragic. It's so fucking tragic. But I'm just... I'm scared that there's bigger things that are, you know, to come. This could be, how can this work? How can we make this look? And I got friends talking, you know, we're ready. We're going to hit the basement. We're going to get to the go room. And if something goes down, because hypothetically, like I said in a couple other podcasts, if 1,500 people brought a screw each, you can make a pretty decent size explosive. You know, a single piece each. Nobody's talking about a core.
Like, well, kind of sounds like that's what the other guys are doing.
Never know. How worried is everyone? What's your game plan? Do you have an emergency plan for you and your family? And, you know, if you're a business owner, or a lot of our followers from back when I was doing interviews were business owners. How do you feel about this affecting you in your everyday life? And what can it affect? If you're,
or will it affect?
If you're in Vegas or in your Louisiana or you're in Washington and any of this has affected you, has anybody been shut down? Have they closed any stores? Have they cordoned anything off? Have they, you know, served search warrants and it's affected you? Because apparently there's a lot of search warrants that they're, you know, implementing in residences because it's a terrorist attack. Associates, known associates, people have been in contact. Wow. So say his mother called him that day and then boom, he went up and did that. Your mother, your aunties, everyone's getting a search warrant.
That's crazy.
We're going to find everything. They don't leave no stone unturned.
I wonder, like, say if that situation happened, if you had random communication with somebody who ended up partaking in a terrorist attack or something of that nature, and then you get served with a search warrant because you've had some type of contact with this person. Are they only concerned about finding things that correlate to the crime? No. So if they caught you with a pound of pot and you're in a no pot state, they'll turn it over
to the local DAs and arrest you. Because we've had our fair share of run-ins with the FBI. I have been as friendly to the FBI as I possibly can in every instance that I've run into them. And I can't talk about all instances, but there's been three of particular note. One a customer-based, one an employee-based, and one a business-based, where it encapsulated the whole business. Mm-hmm. Just because we were associates to another business that was running as a front for Chinese immigration and illegal activity. Now, everything they find, they'll go through your search history, your Wi-Fi, they'll find out what connections you have, your payroll systems, your files. They will search everything. And if they find something on you, they'll turn it over to local authorities and be like, oh, just in case, like with the issue with Jason and him selling guns, I think I had a tax issue on a customer's invoice that we turned over because Jason had worked on it. And he was like, hey, I'm sure this is nothing, but I noticed your numbers are wrong here. Turned it over to local police. Never got a call about
what
it.
What I think is very interesting about it, because I've been privy to a conversation or two of that nature, and like, you're very friendly, like, oh yeah, you know, we go to California X amount of times, this, that, and the other. They already knew me. They already knew our kids' names. They already knew more or less our schedule. And it's like, we didn't do anything. We're not the criminals at hand, but it's funny because everybody always knows that, you know, the government's listening to you, Alexa.
Well, they have data. They have data packs, right?
Right, and everybody is aware of the idea that there's a file with your name on it, whether there's anything interesting in it or not.
It's like a network. It's not really like a single file. There is, think of it like the Matrix. There is a file of connected nodes of information,
right?
That ping, you get my name and you get known associates, basic info,
right?
Known associates, so addresses.
I grasp that. I've joked about it with friends. I've gone on the little conspiracy rabbit holes about said thing, but it's so interesting when it, like, you finally get hit with a, yeah, that's definitely fact, because it's like,
to this day,
in the big scheme of things, I'm such a small fish, you know, and there's like not really anything of interesting nature for them, but they know anyways.
You would think that, but they turn over so many stones to find a pebble that looks like what they're looking for. And they're like, okay, if we can't deal with it, local authorities, local district attorneys, you know, councilmen, whoever, they'll throw it at the wall and see what sticks. That's the FBI.
Right. But as far as I know, they're not looking to stick anything in this general direction, but
if they could, if I wasn't squeaky clean,
if there wasn't something, you get what I'm saying is, like, understand. I'm not doing anything to draw attention to myself, but still a file exists. Should I be turned in a year from now?
Yeah. If they get into my brain and implant worms and make the frogs gay. You know, Alex Jones.
I might
Jones.
End up on a suspect list for some of the books on my Kindle, and that's about as close as it gets.
How many free books are you up to now?
Well, I'm in hell week at work. It's the first of the year. I read for an hour today, and I got the Kindle on Christmas. That's the fifth book that I'm in, and I'm about halfway through it. But it's hell week, so I'm about to be on that fifth book for the rest.
Well, we got some free time yesterday. We got to go to the casino, play it up, and, you know, have a little time while Daddy Doug was watching the kids.
Yesterday was a fluke because there was an issue with the reports. It wasn't generating the reports correctly. So we had a slow day. But now, because we're doing near real-time reports, so we get a report for every 2 hours for the last 2 hours. So since yesterday wasn't pushing, papers weren't pushing, I got to do today's work plus try to catch up on yesterday's work. So now I'm playing catch up and I'm doing tandem. I'm doing a yesterday file right next to a today file at the same time. So it's hell week.
I'm sorry that's happening.
10 days.
If you need anything, just let
you couldn't help me if you wanted to.
I know, but I was going to offer because I know I can't help you. Good husbanding.
How about you read aloud while I work? My book that I can't read. Since you offered.
No hablo inglés.
Mi amor. That's perfect because I understand Spanish just as well. Get on it.
But no, the FBI, you know, with our extensive, you know, conversational time with them, they've given up a lot of information about how this works. And what they pick isn't based on, you know, hunches like you would assume the FBI. They throw everything, the kitchen sink at it. And they really go deep and they're like, hey, I want every history, Wi-Fi password, everything they've touched, they've got hands on. So when it came down to that California issue, it was on his recording of a charge. He did self math on the taxes, charge it, but it was left on the paperwork like, oh, he may be defrauding you, not us, but an employee who was being investigated by the FBI had been messing up his paperwork on two or three invoices. Like, hey, I'm going to turn this over to local PD. They'll let you know if they find anything. PD never contacted me, never reached out. But it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, shit, what if he was charging people extra?
I mean, I forget. Never happened. I forget whatever government agent it was, that agency it was. But freaking, they got Capone on taxes. So
IRS. Taxes is always IRS.
The IRS arrested him.
Yes. Well, no, the FBI, I believe, arrested him, but it was for tax evasion. They were technically, you know, back then. But that's why even the government fears the IRS.
Yeah.
The real governor of the governing body of the United States is the Internal Revenue Service.
They should be on a terrorist watch list.
Because they have no bounds. They don't have to hit you with a lien. They just take your shit. They can take anyone's. Pelosi, if they look at her, broke.
If they wanted to.
Yeah, if they wanted to. If it wasn't good old cousin Pelosi. You know, donating to.
Maybe I need to work at the IRS. I do like a good spreadsheet.
I'd suck something fierce to work at the IRS. And I'm just saying.
You know, every couple of years I look and see, not that I would or that I'm qualified, but I look to see if the FBI or the CIA is hiring and what their job entails as far as what they'll provide on the internet, just to see, because it's so exciting. Now I need to look at the IRS.
You could be like the guy from Catch Me If You Can. Just looking into pharmacy crimes. You catch a lot in your job.
Oh, if I ever see freaking an FWA position open up, I'm in there.
What's FWA?
Fraud, waste, and abuse.
So you would snitch.
Oh, yeah. Pharmacies committing fraud. Hell yeah. Doctors committing fraud.
And you think you'd make some money on that? Like maybe a finder's fee, whistleblower's fee?
Oh, not if I'm in that position, but I'd have all the tea and no finder's fee.
Hey, FBI, CIA. She could help you. That's your man. Not your man, but like my woman. She could be your man for a price. Signing bonus.
Don't pimp me out on the internet to the FBI or the CIA.
Any, you know, foreign operators. No. Try and stay out of the middle of the road.
Nope.
Away from any cyber trucks or rental cars that say Turo. Just stay fucking safe, people. I don't know what to say. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching. If you got any more information or if something crazy has happened since the 2nd of January, let us know in the comments below. We're probably making a follow-up video because I'm almost 100% sure that all the drama is not over yet. So I hope you're safe. Kiss your family goodnight. Tell somebody you love them. And we'll see you next time on During Business Hours.